Hi, everybody. Let's just pray. Lord, just thank you for the life that you give us. Lord, as we delve into your word, Lord, speak to us. Your word has life in it. Your word brings us life. And I pray as we do that today that you speak to our hearts and minds and bring us more into your way of living, that we might be able to follow you better and live life to the fullness that you promise in Jesus. Amen. So the passage I'd like us to look at today is Hebrews 10, verse 23 and 24, just two simple verses. Now, Trevor, as he asked me to preach today, he said, preach whatever you want. Get your best one out there. He said, give them the best you've got. I said, Trevor, I always give the best I've got because I'm passionate about communicating Jesus's message. And the funny thing that happened was I preached this message last week at Christ Church, and the AYF choir arrived on Wednesday morning, and I was telling Andrew and the guys as we met and prayed together about that message, and they said the night before they got on the plane, when they were meeting together, the word that someone had was this same passage. And then Denise, where's Denise? Is she here today, Denise? No? She's away. Denise came up to me after the service and said she had had that same passage and she was writing an article on it for the In Touch magazine. So I started to think maybe there is something in this. And I shared it on the email around the leadership here, and then Phil Isherwood emails me and said that thing about encouragement, that's exactly what we're going for here as well. And I thought, let's do it. Do we need any more justification than that? So listen to these verses. There's just two verses. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds. So I'm going to consider now how we can hold unswervingly to the hope that we are given, recognizing that God is faithful. Do you believe it? God is faithful. And how we can encourage one another to live the lives as God intends. So here we go. How many of you watched the Olympics last year? Yeah? One of the highlights of the Olympics is a 100 metre race. The tension in the stadium is amazing, actually. It's electric, isn't it? You know, the whole thing only lasts 10 seconds of like the month that the Olympics are taking place. And yet, for those 10 seconds of that whole time, it's like the world's eyes are focused on what's going on at that running track. Who's one of the most famous runners there? Usain Bolt. Usain Bolt, yeah? Have you ever watched what Usain Bolt is like in that race? Yeah, actually, he's not a great starter. That's the reality. When that starting pistol sounds and he's out of those blocks, he isn't at the front of the race. In fact, if you looked at where he was at the 50 metre mark halfway through the race, you wouldn't even think he was in contention for winning it. And yet there's something that seems to happen at that halfway mark. It's like he finds a gear that the other contestants haven't got. There's something there that he finds that he starts to accelerate from that 50 metres point onwards. So much so that by the end of the race, he's got time to turn around and give a little wave to everybody else who's in the race before he crosses the line. What is that all about? He finishes well, doesn't he? Crossing that finishing line. The reality is, though, many of us are good at starting things, but we're not that good at finishing things. A couple of Christmases ago, I was having my curacy over in Bolton, learning how to be a vicar. And we decided that we'd go back to our old church in Salford to their Christmas fair. And whilst we were there at the fair, I met an old friend of mine, one of the local brownie leaders, actually. And she had this little craft stall. And on this stall, she made these beautiful Christmas cards. You know the kind of cards that have the little bits of foam, double-sided sticky pads, and they get 3D and they come out from them. And so I commissioned her to make a Christmas card for my wife, Ruth, who's here today. Yeah, and it was a beautiful card. It was the kind of card that speaks of love. It was the kind of card that she was going to be so blessed by. She was going to love this card. I was so excited to give her this card. I thought, she's going to think this is the best Christmas ever. Guess what happened? I forgot to give it her. Can you believe it? Do you know what? I don't even think I've found it yet. It's still hanging about in a drawer. You see, I started well, didn't I? I had all the best intentions of really blessing her that Christmas, but I never actually delivered on it. I didn't finish well. So turn to the person next to you and say to them, make sure you finish well. Go on, do it. You know, okay, you can stop now. It's not an excuse for a committee meeting. You know, I think some of you even struggled to finish that exercise. If we go to the gym in December, is it full? If we go to the gym in January, is it full? Yeah? What does that say? Yeah? I was chatting with Alison there, one of the readers over at Christchurch, and she was saying, she went speaking to the guy in the local chippy, and she says, I bet you find it hard at this time of year, don't you? January, because you're probably not getting so many customers. He says, oh yeah, he says, it's usually quiet, but only for the first couple of weeks. By which point, people's resolutions have given up and they're actually already stopping and going along. I wonder how many of us can keep going as strongly in December as we started in January. The reality is we are bad finishers. So, going back to that passage, God says to us, hold unswervingly to the hope we profess. How can we, if we're so bad at finishing things, hold unswervingly to something? Well, the answer is this. The first point for you to note. Start with the end in mind. Say it. Start with the end in mind. Start with the end in mind. Knowing the outcome, what it is you're going to go to, what it is you're going to achieve, helps us to stay on course. Knowing the outcome means we're less likely to be diverted from the task ahead. Knowing the outcome means we're not going to get as distracted by the other things that are coming along. We might not compromise so easily. Or as the passage says, we might not be swerving around trying to work out which way to go when we're actually not sure where we're going. We're not as likely to try and take shortcuts. The reality is we can start with good intentions, but we can easily see that hope lapse and it get terminated. I wonder how many God-given opportunities there are even in this room today that could be fulfilled if only we would hear his call on our lives and follow it. It's a challenge, isn't it? I remember one of the reasons why I went forward and decided to get ordained as a vicar in the Church of England was because a friend said to me one day, you know, Alan, you regret more the things in life you don't do than the things you do. It's true, isn't it, actually? And I thought, I don't want to be looking back at my life thinking, I wish I'd given it a shot. I wish I'd given it a try. If only I'd done that as an old man. So I decided I'm going to give it a go and see where God takes me in it. It just gave me the push that I needed at that time to go for it. And it's knowing where the ending is that keeps us on track. It says in Hebrews chapter 12, let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. That if we keep going on that race, knowing where we're heading for, we can persevere in that race. We can keep going with it. And knowing the desired outcome, what they're heading towards, helps us on that journey as well. Have you ever been stuck in a traffic jam? Yeah. So demoralising. There was one time we were in the car and it was around Christmas and we were going to see relatives and we got stuck on the M60 and it felt like hours that we were there. The windows were misting up, the radio was boring, we were getting grumpy with each other. It didn't look as though we were moving any further forward at all. The temptation when you're in that place is thought, stuff it, we'll come off at the next exit and we'll go home. We're not going to bother. But we knew that we were going to see relatives. We had presents. We had love. We wanted to bless people. We were giving stuff to them. We were receiving stuff. And that spurred us on to keep on going with the journey. We knew that there was going to be a good outcome. So, think about what that might be for you. Think about what that means as a Christian, where you are going. Start with the end in mind so that we can hold unswervingly to the hope we profess. Don't you think that period between Christmas and the New Year is a really weird time of year? I mean, does anybody else struggle with that period of time? I do. I really struggle with that period. There's something that kind of seems to go on. It's like an in-between time in your life. It's kind of the celebrations of Christmas are out of the way. And you've got all this really rich, rubbishy food around the house that you just keep stuffing your face with. And then you find yourself staying up later and later at night watching rubbish on the TV. And then you think, well, I'll just lie in the morning to try and make up for it. And before you know it, you're feeling absolutely rubbish about yourself. You're thinking, I just don't like this way of living anymore. And then the new year comes and it's like you kind of get that surge of, I'm going to go for it. I'm going to make a difference in my life. And you feel like all the things that are wrong with you have been amplified during that time and you're going to put them to right. And so you get into the new year celebrations and the new year's resolutions start coming out. But I want you to just think for a minute about those in-between times in your life. You see, the passage here says, let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. God is faithful to us. That is the nature of God. That's what he's like. God doesn't give up on us. Even at those low times in our lives, he still wants to be there with us, knowing us and building that relationship. In those in-between times, I wonder what those in-between times are for you. Perhaps you're going through a time of struggle at the moment even. Maybe there's some health challenges that you're facing. Maybe there's some relationships. Maybe you're struggling to make ends meet. Maybe you're feeling as though that job's never going to come along and I'm not going to get purpose in my life. But our God loves us. Our God cares for us. Our God is faithful. He will be with us in those times. As we sang, hold on to Jesus. Hold on to him because he is faithful to us. He who promised is faithful. We're not following signposts, you know. We're following footprints. We're following God who in Jesus was one of us, who walked this way of living, who knows what it's like. It's so much easier to follow a person than it is to follow signs, to follow where God is going. He's already overcome in life so that we too can overcome. In those periods between sowing and reaping or starting and finishing, when we know who we're going to marry, but we've not set the date yet, when we've bought the house or not exchanged contracts, when we've accepted the job, but we haven't yet started, we've passed the test, we've not got the car, we're still enduring, but we're not yet enjoying. We're eating healthily, but we're not losing weight. We're exercising, but we're not feeling better. We've graduated, but we've not got the job yet. Whatever that might be for you, God promises to be faithful, that he is alongside us, and he promises to finish the good work that he has started within each of us. Life is a process of being prepared for the plan ahead. And the passage goes on to say this, let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds. One of the things I've found with being around these guys in the choir is the encouragement that they give one another. All the time they're spurring one another on. And they give me so much encouragement. One of the reasons why they're here at the moment is because they want to encourage us as a church to grow and to keep going for it. God says to us, let us spur one another on towards love and good deeds. We did an experiment in the school assembly I did one time. And I got three of the kids out the front of the school hall in a line. And I got a couple of heavy weights for each of them to hold, one in each hand. And the challenge was that they had to stand there and put their arms out straight and hold them up as long as they possibly could do. And I said to the rest of the school, this is what I want you to do. And the first kid came to the front. We give them the weights, they held their hands out. And I said to the whole school, whilst that child is there, I want you to boo them. So this poor child stood at the front of the school hall, in front of the whole school, stood there with his arms out in front, and he's holding these two heavy weights up. And the whole school is booing like crazy. Boo, yes, boo, boo. Yeah? And after a while, his arms grew tired, and he let them down, he let go of the weights. The second child came up, and I said to them, hold them as long as you can. I said to the whole school, I want you to be completely silent whilst this child is doing this. So they did it. Eventually, their arms grew tired. They let it go. Then the third child came up, and they gave them the same couple of weights, told them to hold their hands out straight in front of them and said, hold that as long as you can. But I gave the school a different instruction. This time I said, I want you to cheer them on all the way. Give them every bit of encouragement that you possibly can. Which child do you think held the weights up for the longest out of the three of them? Hey? Yeah, the last one. The one who was encouraged. You see, encouragement increases performance. Encouragement increases performance. If you've ever seen the triple jump jumpers in the Olympics, yeah? What do? They get the whole crowd clapping them before they go for it, don't they? Because they know if they've got everybody behind them, what they're going to do? They're going to hop, skip and jump further than they could otherwise have done. That encouragement has a big impact on the performance of them at that time. I'm just going to have a drink. Just wait a minute.
Should we encourage you?
Keep going.
Encourage me to keep going. Living water. That's what we need. The reality is that we all need encouragement. Any of us who've lived in situations in our lives when we've had a lot of discouragement and criticism and negativity around us will know how hard it is to keep going when that is the case. I just want to say this is a house of encouragement. This is a place when we can come and receive from the Lord and receive from each other. Church is the best experience in our lives because church is the place where we can be encouraged and spurred on to go for it. Church is the place where we can bring our burdens and have them lifted and shared among the group. That's the kind of people we are, isn't it? That's why we're here, to encourage one another on and spur one another on. The reality is, if that is the case, our performance can go way up in life. We can achieve things that we ever could have dreamt of being able to do. And the reality is, being part of church isn't about being a consumer. It's not about just coming along and seeing what you get out of it. Actually, we've all got to play a part in pulling something into it. It's not just about what comes from the front. It's about what comes from each side and behind and around us as we all encourage and spur one another on. You know, the word encouragement actually goes straight to the heart. If you look at the original meaning in Latin of what encouragement means, it comes from two words. En, E-N, which means to put into, and cor, which means heart. So literally, encouragement is to put into the heart or to give heart. When we're encouraging one another, we are giving heart to one another. Encouragement goes straight to the heart. So knowing what a big difference encouragement makes, I've got a few simple, practical suggestions for you today to finish on, to give you an idea of what you can do. Are you ready? Dead simple stuff. The first thing is this. Become aware of what encourages you and do the same thing for others. I don't know if you ever come across the love languages, the ways in which we communicate. There's five love languages to do with a touch and feeling, patting somebody or hugging them, words of affirmation, encouraging somebody with what you say, giving people gifts or acts of service, what was the other one, Ruth? Can you remember? Time, giving people time. Thank you. I'm glad you know it better than I do. Yeah, thank you for encouraging me. Yeah. Those things make a real difference. Now, I've discovered that my love languages, I love words of affirmation. So if Ruth comes to me and gives me a present, in a way, it doesn't say I love you as much as Ruth coming to me and saying, I think you've done a really good job of making that cup of tea before. I really appreciate the way you've done that. That really makes a big difference to me. Learn what it is that encourages you. And do that to others. Encourage others with what encourages you. That's the first thing. Next thing is, if an encouraging thought comes to mind, share it. Don't just hold on to it. Don't think, oh, I'll take that and say that to them later. Give it them straight away, there and then. Don't hold back. If you've got something positive to do, to give like that, do it. As it says in Hebrews 3, verse 13, encourage one another daily as long as it's called today. Keep on doing it. Don't put it off to another time. Next thing, if you ever introduce someone to somebody else who's such a person, add a few words of encouragement, the difference that person has made to your life. When I introduced the Ugandans before, I talked about the difference that they had made to me in my life. It means so much to be praised in front of other people like that. I love it when someone puts a post on Facebook, actually, saying something positive like that. It really encourages me, that because I know that it's a public thing that other people are looking at that. And so it means a lot to be encouraged in front of other people. So encourage people in front of others. Another way of encouraging in the church, remind each other of the promises of God, that God has made a difference. You know, God is amazing. He promises us a great destination. God promises us eternal life. God promises a time when there'll be no pain or no suffering. God promises an eternity where there'll be healing, there'll be no darkness, where the light will be the light of the glory of Christ living with us. Where we will live in unity, it says the lion will lie with the lamb. Where we'll be praising God for all eternity. I'm reliably told there'll be no beer bellies or bald heads in heaven. Yeah? We have got a great destination that we are going for. Let's encourage one another with the knowledge of that. The difference that that will make in our lives. It spurs us on to keep on going. Amen. Amen. Thank you, brother. Thanks for your encouragement. Be specific when you offer words of praise. It makes encouragement more credible and concrete. Don't just say, thanks, Lord, that was great. But actually say, thanks, you did a really good job of making that cup of tea for me. Yeah? Thanks, you did a really good job of whatever that might be. Yeah? I really appreciate these guys from the AYF band, the effort. I know they put a lot of practice in behind the scenes. But don't they look fantastic as well? You know, this morning in Christchurch, it was a bit nippy up the front of church. And yet they were still there with the bare hands. I knew that they were going to be cold at that time. People around wouldn't have realised that. But they sacrificed in that way because they wanted to look their best in putting that across. I really appreciated the effort that they took. Next thing, if you're part of a church, a Bible study group, a life group, whatever it is, keep on turning up. Actually, it's a great encouragement for people when you just show up. I mean, it would be pretty dull if I was here preaching to an empty room now, wouldn't it? Yeah. Thanks a lot for coming. I really appreciate you being here. It means a lot. The other thing is use encouragement as outreach. You know, I'm passionate that as a church, we reach out to a world that so desperately needs that love and knowledge of who Jesus is. And I want that image of being a Christian to be some of the most encouraging people around. You know, if you're in a supermarket queue and you get to the front and you look at the attendant there and they're struggling away, give them a few words of encouragement. If you go and see the doctor, thank them for the job that they're doing. If you see the guy who's sweeping the streets or collecting the bins, go and give them a bit of encouragement for what they're doing. People you meet in your day-to-day lives, appreciate them and encourage them. It makes a big difference. They say what goes around comes around, doesn't it, actually? Go out there and make the world a better place. As Christians, we need to be the kind of people who stand out as those who encourage others. And finally, we could learn something from the way the athletes work together. I don't know if you've ever watched the doubles in tennis. The two working together there. And then one takes a serve and they return and they get into a rally. And as soon as that ends, what do the two go to each other? They go, they high five, they're encouraging, they're patting each other on the back. They're giving them a hug, they're giving them every bit of encouragement to keep on going. And what do we say? Encouragement improves performance. Yeah, all that encouragement helps them to do the best that they possibly can. And finally, tell others how they have encouraged you along the way in your life. I'm really excited by the potential of this fellowship here. I love coming along on Sunday afternoons. I'm really thrilled by the welcome that I've received. I'm so encouraged by the things that people have said to us since we've arrived over these last 10 weeks or so. And I know that this church is having a massive impact on the community around here. And I know it's going to go from strength to strength in the future. Wouldn't it be amazing for us to gather this time next year and say thank you to God for all he has done, for the great difference that that's making? The amazing thing is, as I shared this word at Christchurch last week, I said I really believe this year is a year of sowing. And I came along here in the afternoon, and the message was, this year at Sports Village Church is a year of sowing. I think that's sowing that encouragement, sowing that love of God in all that we are doing. I want to put a sign over the door there with the word entrance over it. That as we leave here, we are going out, we are entering into the rest of the world. And as we do that, may we be the most encouraging people that we can be. Let us hold unswervingly to that hope that we profess, that we share with others. For God is faithful, and let us spur one another on towards love and good deeds. I'll finish with these words from Romans 15, chapter 13. Just pray this over you and say, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.